Alan for Breakfast Catch-Up on Triple M.
A lot of controversy surrounding this year's Derby at Optus Stadium, the first one at Optus Stadium. We have a man on the line that definitely would have opinion on something to do with it. Paul Hazelby, how are you this morning?
Yeah, going okay, boys. I slept last night, not too well, and woke up, and I'm still frustrated. I'm a bit angry with the decision by the Fremantle Dockers and the West Coast Eagles, for that matter, to dump the Ross Glendening medal. There's just no reason that's been put forward, that sits well with me. I just cannot understand why they would get rid of this medal. Doesn't make sense.
Hayes, the reason it's been offered so far is to do around CUB sponsorship, mate. Again, that makes no sense to you in this.
No, don't agree with that whatsoever. I think if they want to find another sponsor, you can go and do that. If you don't find one, you can still have the naming of this award just without a sponsor for this one. And then if you want to go forward, find one, by all means, they can do that. So that doesn't sit too well with me. And that leaves the last part of it, whether it is around the Ross Glendening name and him being associated more with the West Coast Eagles, because he's an absolute icon of Western Australian footy. He's a Brownlow medalist, and you know, he's been synonymous with this award since 2001. I would hope that, being a Fremantle person, that is not the reason, because that, for one, is disrespectful and distasteful, because he has been such a great person for WA footy.
And we've had every opportunity over 17 years to go back and forth about, you know, the naming of the medal. But if we talk about it in the first instance there, mate, you know, Coke don't present the Brownlow medal. Fox Sports don't present the Coleman medal. Why does it even matter? Why do we even need to have a sponsor on board to award the, you know, the best player for the Derby?
I reckon every week I get referred to as a four-time Ross Glendening medal winner. I've never, ever been referred to as a four-time Carlton mid Ross Glendening medal winner. So it does not make sense in regards to that. So I don't think it is with that, and I'd be very disappointed from Fremantle if they are holding out and trying to change history here based on trying to get a bit of money in the door. That just doesn't sit well with people, and it doesn't sit well with me.
How could, say, the Footy Commission not have seen this one coming and maybe planned for it so that we could still have the medal in place for this year, regardless of who's sponsoring it?
They didn't know about it. We rang them yesterday to get some information out of them, and they were as surprised as we were when they heard of it. And I don't think Fremantle or West Coast own this award. This is a WA Footy award. It should have been made from Footy Commission, the decision. And let's just hope going forward, there's still a few days left in the week, that they come over the top and will make a ruling.
I think...
Now, saying all that, I'm not opposed to Fremantle wanting to introduce some more Fremantle flavour potentially in this award. Whether you go down the Glendening Pavlich way, that is up for discussion. But it should be done at the right time, not done 4 days before the biggest game, the biggest Western Derby game that we've had in a long time, probably ever, given the success and the good starts from both of our teams.
Absolutely, mate. It is going to be a big Derby. Very disappointing to learn that. And I feel like if we make enough noise, maybe a decision will be changed in time for the Derby.
I tend to agree. I think they will. Common sense will prevail. Please, Freo, do the right thing.
Absolutely. Paul Hazelby, mate, thanks for your time this morning.
No worries, guys.
Perth Wildcats captain on the line, Damien Martin. Morning, mate.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, mate, pleasure to have you on. We're looking forward to getting you here in the southwest. You've got a couple of big dates coming up. Looking forward to seeing you in Margaret River. You're going to be there on April 26th, and also you're going to be in Bunbury on April 27th on the Friday there. Part of the regional tour, mate. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, can't wait. And myself and some of my teammates will jump on a bus and head on down to some of the regional areas. So I know Monday some of the guys are up in Geraldton, and then I got very lucky and managed to get put on the Margaret River and Bunbury trip. So looking forward to it. We'll get out, run some clinics for all ages, and have a bit of fun in the meantime. So some of it will be according to skills, but it's more important to have some fun and meet some of the guys. So if you're interested, get on down and come along, meet myself, Lucas Walker, Clint Steindl, just to name a few.
Absolutely, mate. Our Commonwealth Games just wrapped up. Did you enjoy much of that?
It was incredible. There's always an image of sport that I've always been obsessed with, and that's, you know, the winning team standing up on the podium, getting the gold medal, and then looking at the flag while they sing the national anthem, and to be able to actually live that moment while, you know, my wife, daughter, mum and dad are all in the stands. It was one of those moments in sport I'll never forget, and I don't mind admitting that I've had the gold medal shown a few times, and I never get sick of bringing it out.
Absolutely, mate. Well, let's just touch on the Perth Wildcats for a second, mate. Like, you know, obviously we're used to them in WA winning it, becoming champions every single year, and then this year, didn't quite go to plan like that. Do you take that pretty hard? Like, are the fans a bit brutal on you because of that? Because we just had this huge expectation.
Throughout the season, it's funny. the coaches probably cop it the worst. And I know that after a win, they might get a handful of emails congratulating them. After a loss, it's a lot more. So people tend to get in front of their keyboards after a loss to share their opinions, and some of them aren't so friendly. But overall, you know, 2 years ago, when we were fortunate enough to win it, in December, right near Christmas, we were actually sitting bottom of the ladder, and the amount of emails I was actually receiving, wishing us the best of luck, people still believing us, was amazing. And lucky enough, we had some people return from injury, but we brought in Bryce Cotton, who went on to be Grand Final MVP, and we won the championship. But that was a defining moment, I thought, in the 8 or 9 years I've been here, where we probably gave our supporters every reason to doubt us or to speak negatively, but instead, that's when they were at their best. So it does happen, and I encourage all my teammates to realise that you're never as good as people say you are after a win, and you're probably never as bad as people will say you are after a loss. And you know, try and stay within the group of players and coaches. But it was a year that didn't go according to plan, but this is what off-season's for. It's about getting better, recruiting some guys, and trying to put our best foot forward next season.
Well, let's touch on recruiting. How much of a say do you have in that?
Swim for none. Maybe the coaches will speak to me about one or two guys, but overall, you know, we kind of go our separate ways at the end of the season. The coaches are still in the office, you know, planning, you know, reviewing what happened last season, where we need to get better for the upcoming season, and then looking at the free agency list and going from there. And it's, in my 10 years of playing in the NBL, I think it's the most impressive free agency list I can remember. So there's a lot of big names, and anybody who follows the basketball will see that Brisbane Bullets have very much been on the front foot, gone out and recruited three big signings, including WA Bunbury boy Cam Glidden, which would have been nice to see him in a Wildcats jersey. But you know, I'm sure the Wildcats will name some signings in the upcoming days.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, mate. Well, we are looking forward to seeing you here in the Southwest. How are you going physically anyway? You ready to deal with all these kids?
I can't wait. You might have to ask me the same question after the clinics when I've been running around ragged. But no, it's all good fun. Once the guys are down there, it's hard not to get caught up in the atmosphere that only kids can generate when they're excited and energetic. And yeah, myself and the other guys are pumped to get on the court and test some of these guys out and play a few competitions to see if they can beat us.
Absolutely, mate. Thanks for the chat today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Hopefully see you guys down in Bunbury or the Margaret River.
There you go, Damian Martin, Wildcats captain. Looking forward to him putting on a couple of clinics on. It should be a lot of fun for the kids. He's going to be at Margaret River, the rec centre there, on the 26th, and then Friday at Eton on the 27th. France looks like they've banned vegetarians from pretending vegetarian food is meat.
Might have got excited because I thought this was a good idea.
Now, terms like vegetarian sausage, vegetarian mince, and vegan bacon could all be potentially outlawed.
So they should.
Jeez.
Call things what they are, I reckon.
Burger, steak, sausage, fillet, those words will not be able to be associated with vegetarian and vegan products. Now, I'm two ways about it. I'll tell you why. Because I've fallen for the mistake. I remember I once went to, I think it was Coles. They had some discounted, what I thought was chicken mince with a curry thing.
Right.
Ended up being vegetarian mince.
How'd that taste, mate?
Not good.
Right.
Not good at all. So I like the idea of the lack of confusion in saying that. This is so French.
And everyone's entitled to follow whatever type of diet they like. That's fine. But call things what they are. Vegetarian sausage. A sausage is a sausage. Yeah. There's no meat in it. It's not a sausage.
What makes a sausage a sausage, Bart? The shape.
Vegetarian mince. Well, surely that's got to have meat in it, doesn't it?
No, because mince could be anything minced up.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, that's right.
Vegan bacon.
All right, that one I'll stand with. Vegan bacon makes no sense.
What part of the pig does the vegan bacon come from, Al?
Yeah, well, no. Well, bacon can come from turkey or pig. It can be turkey bacon. But in the saying that, it is the cut of meat that is. So, all right, so that one we can happily outrule. All right, without outruled. Call it. But
by decree of Alan for breakfast.
Yeah. Have you got a thought, 13, 27, 10? Or even if you don't, we'd love to hear it. I've got Angela on the line. How are you, Angela?
Good. What about fruit mince for mince pies at Christmas?
That was my argument, because mince isn't just about meat, is it, Aaron?
No.
Okay,
I'm not... All sorts of mince is just a process.
I'm not meaning to be anti-mince. I'm meaning to be anti-vegetarian, just for clarification.
I'm not a vegetarian, but... But
you like things said correctly.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that.
No, I like it. Thanks for your call.
All right, have a good one.
Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you, Angela. Yeah, that's it. Like, you know, like, so mince can stand because you can do fruit mince.
Yes.
But vegan bacon, get it out of here. You don't want that word used anymore.
Mate, I never thought I'd say this in my life, but I'm with the French on this one.
Of course you are. Plenty happening royal news, especially there in London, which is why it's now time for a royal wedding update. Well, I've now got on the line our foreign correspondent, Jeremy Butterworth. Good morning, Jeremy. How are you this cold morning in London, I can assume?
Good morning indeed. I am feeling quite well, actually.
Well, I tell you, the wedding, it's on the way, isn't it?
Well, we are 25 days away from the big day, Alan. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry have been the focus of the last months, but it looks like the Duchess was a little jealous.
What do you mean? What are you jealous? Come on.
Oh, look, it's the exciting news, Alan. The Duke and Duchess of Cambridge have had their third baby, a little baby boy.
Yeah, that is pretty exciting. I know a lot of people have been talking about it. It's been all over social media. Very, very good news for them. Congratulations to the couple.
Absolutely. I mean, Kate was admitted to hospital just after 11 p.m. local time last night, and less than 7 hours later, she's getting in the car and driving back home.
Yeah,
this
wow.
woman is a pro. She is a royal baby-making machine.
Well, it's a third child, I guess. You're just popping them out at this point.
Absolutely. And look, there's a lot of speculation on what the name could be. According to the bookies, the hot favourites are coming in as James 5-1, Arthur 7-1, and Philip at 6-1.
Oh, that's a pretty conventional names. James, Arthur, Philip. Yeah, I could see one of those. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, and Alan, I can give you the exclusive right here on your show. Now, I can tell you that hot favourite is Akeem.
That
may surprise. Yeah, Akeem. Maybe it may surprise some people, but a lot of you might not know is that Prince William is a massive fan of that movie, Coming to America.
Are you serious? Jeez.
Can't you just imagine it? Kate, Will, George, Charlotte, and little Akeem.
I actually can't, Jeremy, but hey, if that's your sources, then I guess it might be true. Jeremy, thanks for that, mate. We do appreciate it. We'll let you get back to it.
25 days to the wedding, Alan.
Yep, thank you very much, Jared. Who's his sources? Eddie Murphy? Akeem. I don't think that's going to happen. Jeez, if it does, but I'm going to look very foolish on air.